Okay, good evening. I see I'm warmed up already. You know, running around, I warm up, I take off my jacket. But anyway, it's really a pleasure to introduce Harav Gilad. And I must say, this whole program was put together very quickly. I think in under 2 weeks, Ronnie Oswine, who's outside in the hall, sent me an email that Harav Gilad is going to be in Toronto for approximately 24 hours. I think his plane landed about 65 minutes ago or 70 minutes ago, but we knew it would work out okay. I'm sorry?
Did you give us the email? No, I'm fine.
No, the plane just arrived, so we figured it'd be really a wonderful opportunity. Yeshivat Maale Gilboa, up in the north of Israel, where he is the founding Rosh Yeshiva, I was just reading, they opened up a library in the yeshiva, not a sparring library, a library, because the ethos of the yeshiva is to combine the world of learning, of all learning, of general culture within the walls of the yeshiva. And I know they have many, many creative ways of learning, a lot of creativity, of course, going on in the land of Israel. And Harav Gilad, who is a graduate of Haratzion, of Yeshiva Haratzion, is the rabbi in Kibbutz Lavi, who is the founding Rosh Yeshiva in Maale Gilboa. He served as a member of Knesset for one term. I guess that was enough politics,
you
right?
You made tshuva with you.
You made tshuva from, I'm sorry to admit, maybe that's not a nice, okay, I better stop before I say anything else. It's really a pleasure to have him on his quick visit, and he'll share with us really a very important topic, the limits of Orthodox pluralism, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elohim Chayim, which is an issue he has spent a lot of time dealing with, religious and non-religious people in Israel. So, without further ado, Harav Gilad. Okay, good. Yeah, Bansley.
Okay. Shalom, everybody. I really am very happy to be here. And it's very nice. I admire people that are coming to learn Torah in such a weather. Nechama Malevich used to say, "Beveit Elokim nehalech beragesh, regesh rachshei tevot, ruach geshem shelek." Yes, I'm in Shelek. So I think it's something very special to come and learn Torah in such a weather, and I hope that it will be worthwhile. The subject that I'm going to deal with, I think it's a very important one within our communities, to try to understand to which extent we can take the idea of pluralism within committed walls. We know that in the world that we live today, the world of postmodernism, there's no emet kvua, there's no the truth. Everyone has his own way, his own proof, and it's very not politically correct to say to someone that my truth is the truth. Everyone has his own way, his own derech, etc. And as we know, tolerance is something that's very important value. And I'd like just to try to investigate through the Mekorot the problem or the question, because we are so a society, there are so many splits within the society, in some extent I think it's relevant in any of our communities in Israel, in the diaspora as well, between left and right, Chilonim and the team, etc. How can we develop a way that there is a commitment to Torah and Halakha, and at the same time to try to develop any sort of tolerance within this framework, and until in which extent we can take this kind of tolerance. So in order to try to deal with it, we'll go through the Mekorot to try to see the machlokot. As we know, the machlokot, the debate, is one of the basic things in our Torah, in Torah Sheba'al Peh, and to try to follow the machlokot of Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, and through this machlokot to understand what does it mean, how to develop a right machloket. So we'll start with the first source, a very famous one in Mishnah Masechet Avot, in source number 1, Kol machloket shei l'shem shamayim sofa l'itkayem, any machloket, debate, disagreement that it is l'shem shamayim for the sake of heaven, sofa l'itkayem, it will exist, v'sheina l'shem shamayim, if it's not for the sake of heaven, ein sofa l'itkayem. Ezoi machloket l'shem shamayim. What is machloket l'shem shamayim? Zo machloket hilel v'shamayim. V'sheina l'shem shamayim zo machloket korach v'chol adatot. First of all, I'd like to ask you if someone can just say, what does it mean machloket l'shem shamayim? What is the meaning of the definition? What is l'shem shamayim? What does it mean Lishem Shamayim? And Shelo Lishem Shamayim. Any idea? What is Lishem Shamayim?
But you're not just saying it because you want to be right.
But
not ego.
Yes. Okay, this is Nachon. This is the most common explanation for the Shem Shamayim. You say it because you believe in it, not just because of your ego or other interests. Just the Shem Shamayim because you believe it. So Machloket Yadav Shamayim, this is Machloket that both sides just did it Lashem Shamayim for the sake of heaven. It means they believed in what they say. And Koach Ve'adat, no, it was because of interest and other things as well. So, this is a very famous Mishnah in Masechet Avot. But the second source that we'll see in the Yerushalmi, in Masechet Shabbat, we'll see something completely different about Machloket Shammai Ve'Hillel, or Bet Shammai Ve'Bet Hillel, a few generations later. So let us see source number two. Halacha Dalet Batitin, this is the Mishnah. Ve'elu en ha'alachot she'amru ba'aliyat Chananiah b'Chizkiya ben Gaon. These are the halachot, the dinim that they said in the place of Chananiah b'Chizkiya ben Gaon. She'alu levakor, that they came to visit him, ve'nimnu ve'amru bet Shammai ve'bet Hillel. What was the way? How did they decide how to come to the conclusion of the machloket? They saw where is the majority? Rabu bet Shammai ve'bet Hillel, and there were more bet Shammai members of bet Shammai on bet Hillel. Therefore, the halacha is supposed to be like bet Shammai. Ushmuna asar dvarim gazuma bayom, and 18 things they decided about it at that day. This is the Mishnah. Says the Gemara in source number 2, the third line, oto hayom haya kashe leYisrael kiyom shenasa boegel. This day was a very difficult day, very hard day, like the day that the golden calf were committed. Why? Tana Rabbi Shua Onya, so Rabbi Shua Onya says, Talmidei bet Shammai amdu lehem milemata, היו הורגים בתלמידי בית הלל. The students of Beit Shammai, they were standing downstairs and they were killing תלמידי בית הלל. What does it mean? So I'm not trying to investigate historically in around this which event it happened. It's not so important. There are many opinions about it. But what I'm trying to try to understand, I'd like to ask you, is this source contradict the first one? Apparently, it seems to be in the first source we have seen that Machloket Lashem Shamayim, Bet Shammai Bet Hillel, this is Machloket Lashem Shamayim, this is the ideal Machloket, Bet Shammai Bet Hillel, this is the ideal Machloket, Machloket Lashem Shamayim, but in this source, in the Yerushalmi, we say that this Machloket Lashem Shamayim, they came to this terrible event that Talmidei Bet Shammai Horgim et Talmidei Bet Hillel. So, apparently, it seems to be there is a contradiction. Is it necessary to say that these Mekorot contradict each other? Or maybe we can say that both of them maybe are true. Any idea? I think that basically there's no any contradiction. It was the Shem Shamayim. In spite of the fact, or maybe because, I'll explain it in a minute, that it was Lashem Shamayim, they came to such a degree that each side were ready to kill the other side. I'd like to say now a comment. I think that sometimes Machloket Lashem Shamayim is more dangerous than Machloket Shelo Lashem Shamayim. Why? Why? What do you think? Why?
Kill it for it.
Sorry?
Don't kill it for it.
We kill for it. Why? Why you kill? Why you already to kill for it?
Because you believe it.
Because you really believe in it. If it's just Lo Lashem Shamayim, just interest, so we can find a compromise. But if each side believes that what he is doing is really for the sake of heaven, this is Lashem Shamayim. This is the ultimate truth. How can I come to compromise? It's not my truth. If each side believes that I'm doing it Lashem Shamayim, it can be terrible.
It's very disturbing.
L'shem Shamayim can be L'shem Allah, L'shem
Shamayim. That's
the one.
And I think that's a very dangerous one.
That's really the issues that I'd like to try to deal with. So I'm trying to say that in a way, just to put the problem in, maybe just because we are believers, Jews or wherever, maybe there is even more dangers of machloket. Because if you are just living in a world that there is no real truth, everyone believes in his own beliefs, everyone has his own way, in a postmodernic atmosphere, there's no one emet that's better than other emet, then you can find you can develop easily a tolerant atmosphere. But if each side believes, and we believe, there are some things that we believe in, that it is the Lashem Shamayim, that this is the truth. So we can come to this event like it happened here. So what is the way that we can keep ourselves from this? Okay, but it was some comment. Someone wanted to comment something? To say something? Yes. Ah, okay, sure.
Bashem Allah is not Bashem Shamayim.
Why not? In their eyes,
it's not enough what is said.
Okay.
My opinion, and it's based on some writings which are dated even before the birth of Abraham, before the birth of the written Torah, discovered in Mesopotamia.
Okay.
Which are translated in our days through all the generations. They explain their educational manner to the princes how to deal with the war. That's what happened today.
Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's not just in other worlds. You know, in the Jewish world as well. I must quote you something that someone said to me about 20 years ago, and it was regarding the very bitter debate that we have within Israeli society between left and right. It was about 20 years ago. I'm emphasizing it was before Retzach Rabin assassination. Someone told me, who is to say, mi amar, that Milchemet Achim, the civil war, this is a red line? Who said that maybe, as in Halacha, there is Yehareg Van Yabo, there are some mitzvot you have to be ready to die and not doing this Avera. Maybe there is Gam Yaharog Val Yavo, that you have to be ready to kill in order not to make this Avera. So he wanted to say that maybe the question of the withdrawing from territories, this is something that justified Milchemet Achim within Am Israel. And he quoted who? I'm going now back to the source. Why do we think that the Yerushalmi said, "Oto yom kasher Israel, kiyom shenasa bo ha'egel," that it was this day reminding them the day of the golden calf was committed? What happened after Chet Ha'egel? Moshe, let's read in source number 3. Vayar Moshe tam kiparu ahu, kiparu ahu leshimtza vekamehem. Vayamod Moshe b'shar ha'machaneh. Then Moshe stood after the golden calf, stood in the gate of the Machane, all Bnei Levi gathered behind with Moshe. Moshe told them that you have to kill each your brother. So, just a minute, so someone can say, here, there is a proof. Who says that civil war is this is a red line?
But the huge difference is the fact, yeah. I can't read clearly, yeah. Which is Vayomer Lahem Ko Amar Hashem.
That's okay. There are people that say that I can hear the voice of Hashem. He said it in Halacha that it's forbidden to withdraw from land, and Hashem said that it is forbidden. So I agree with you.
You talk about three things to die for. Land isn't included in it. It doesn't say three things to kill for.
More than that, I agree with you. I think it's a very good point. You cannot say that there is such a Halacha Yaharog Val Yavor. Why? Why you cannot say that there is such a Yaharog Val Yavor? Because one of the things that we should be Yahreg Val Yavor is Shfichud Damim. Because you are forbidden, you are not allowed to kill someone else. You have to be ready to die and not to kill someone else. So it can be the barrier between Yahreg Val Yavor. Yahreg Val Yavor itself is Yahreg Val Yavor. Do you understand me? It's okay. So I'm trying to say that it cannot be. It's just a distortion. There is no such a thing Yahreg Val Yavor. And the Varkazim. But some people can take the Mekoros, the sources, and try to legayes them, to, how to say, to put them in a way that will prove that הנה, according to the halacha, if Moshe could have done, you know what? Okay, according to Moshe, regarding Moshe, you have an answer. Kol amar Hashem. But what will you say about Matityahu? Hanukkah. We're all celebrating Hanukkah. Celebrate Hanukkah. And how it started, we know, it started with Matityahu, Melchemet Achim. And they fought against, the fight was against the Mityavnim, not just against the Yevanim, the Hellenistic, but against the Jews that accepted the Minagim, the customs of the Goyim. So, in a way, what I'm trying to say, there is a problem here.
Yeah, that's why the Gadashel Pesach was written, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah.
Okay.
There is one intolerant, there is one dogmatic, there is one positive.
Okay, so nice parshanut, nice darshanut about the Arba Banim.
This was made not by me, but by Yaakov Bronowski.
Okay, never mind.
Related to this different issue, but overlaps
okay.
This idea. So with an intolerant, he will kill you. And a dogmatic will kill you. And an irresponsible will kill you.
Okay. So I, what I'm trying to do is
so
just to show...
Ish.
Okay, so what I'm trying to show just that when I'm speaking about Machlok at Hashem Shamayim, I'm saying about religious people, we have to find a way how can we develop any sort of tolerance within the committed world, because we can see that there is such a danger. I must tell you, from someone that deals with chinuch, with education for about more than 20 years, I think we have to admit we have a problem of intolerance within the religious world. We have this kind of problem. I must tell you, I for a minute I don't want to say that I will prefer the problems of the secular people. They have many other problems, but this problem that sometimes because of the fact that we educate people to be idealistic and to be pioneer and to implement the things that they believe in. So how can we at the same time to educate them to respect the other side, to understand the other side, to be tolerant in what are the borders in this kind? This is basically what I'm trying to do through this Mekorot. So I just put the problem here just to say that we can see that the Mekorot, they were very, very well aware about the problem, can? And therefore they put it in this way. Tell you, even Machlokes Shamayim Bet Hillel can come to such a terrible event like Bet Shammai were killing Talmidei Bet Hillel. So let us go to the next Makor. And now I try to show some Makorot, how Chazal dealt with this problem of Machlokes Bet Shammai Bet Hillel, and how they... Okay, let us see the original source is in Tosefta in Masechet Yevamot, source number 4. And we'll see how it came in the Bavli, Talmud Bavli, and how it's written in the Yerushalmi. So the source in number 4 says, Afal pi she'elu osrim ve'elu materim, in spite of the fact that they had the machloket between them, the Shemana Bet Hillel, elu osrim ve'elu materim, lo nimne'u osim taharot elu al gav elu, lekayem ma she'ne'emar, kol derech ish zach be'ina, ve'tochei dibot Hashem. In spite of the fact that they disagreed about very serious halachic issues that we'll see in a few minutes which kind of issues, although they didn't prevent themselves to, let's say in our language, to eat from the kashrut of the other side, although they had disagreement about it, they had problems about it, they still ate each on the other from the kashrut of the other side. Let me know, here we're speaking about taharonot, but basically it's the same. Lekayem ma she'ne'emar, kol derech ish zach be'ena v'tochen libot Hashem. And then he quoted a pasuk from Mishlei that we'll see afterwards what is the relevance of the pasuk to this issue. Kol derech ish zach be'ena v'tochen libot Hashem. So it's not so easy to say, you know, even today I'm Rav of Kibbutz Lavi, we have a hotel in Kibbutz Lavi. The kashrut in our hotel is the kashrut lemehadrim, that was one of the rabbanim in the area, not a real rab, not like myself, is giving a kashrut lemehadrim. So all the Haredi world can come and eat in Kibbutz Lavi. And in spite of this fact, you know that there are some groups of Haredim that they, when they come to the kibbutz, they bring their own mashgiach. Because although everything is glad, etc., but there's their own mashgiach. And I must tell you, I can respect it. It took me time, but well, now I'm more mature. When I was young, I was crazy about it. But I can respect it. I said to myself, you know, everyone has his own diet. Someone eats this, someone eats this. They have their own diet. They're coming with their mashgiach from Bnei Brak, forever from Yerushalayim. But there is something that until today I cannot tolerate, and we are doing it actually. There are some groups that they not just that they bring in their own mashgiach, that he will be mashgiach which kind of food and how they are going to do it, but before they bring this mashgiach, they are machshirim the kelim. Oregoti. Why we do it? Because, you know, it's a financial issue. it's a mischar, it's a parnasa of the kibbutz. I cannot say to my balabatim, you don't do it just because of the ikaron, the principle of this crazy rav, that he has this kind of principles. And this is a way that I think it's so terrible, because I'm not speaking about okay, that you can be somech, but I think that to insult the people that are walking in the mitzvah in Levi, that all of them are shomrei Shabbat, all of them, there's no any, all of them are matpidei in Torah mitzvot, is much, much more severe avera than the question that maybe it will not be a glat shel Rav Landa, but a glat shel Rav Oerbach or whatever. I think, but okay, this is the situation. So, Beit Shammai Beit Hillel was not like this, and Loni knew. Okay, this is the basic source. Talmud Bavli in source number 5, and develop it a little bit more further. Omer at Gemara kach, says the Gemara in source number 5. Tashma, af al pi, shenechlekub et Shammai Beit Hillel, although they disagreed about a list of things that now he is bringing the list, and in a few minutes I'll explain one of the examples. Betzarot uveachayot, beget yashan, ubesafek eshet ish. This is a list of things, of sugyot hilchatiyot, halachic issues that he disagreed about it, and all of them, and some of them, are regarding many, many very, very severe, very serious issues that can bring even to the problem of mamzerim, as we will see. Although lo nimneu bet shamai milisa nashim mibet hillel velo bet hillel mibet shamai. ללמדך שחיבה ורעות נוהגים זה בזה לקיים מה שנאמר האמת אשר לא מהרו. Despite of the fact that they had this kind of problems that including the problem of ממזרות, they still married each other בשם בבית הלל. למה? לקיים מה שנאמר האמת אשר לא מהרו. Because of the pasuk in Zechariah, Emet HaShalom Me'avu, that says basically when there is a tension between the Emet, the truth, and the Shalom, it means that the Shalom is ruling is stronger than the Emet, and because of the Shalom, they married each other. Although they were convinced that this woman or this man, I cannot marry him according to my belief, but because according to Beit Hillel is okay, lo nimneu milisa nashim. Rabbi Shimon says the last line, ninu el min avadai velo ninu min asafek. He says it cannot be ad kedei kach, that even if it was vaday mamzer, according to their opinion, they still married him. I cannot say that the emet will be nichna, will surrender from the shalom. But mikay safek, in a place that it was a safek, it wasn't sure, at that case they married. So if I would have done here a scale that tzad echad emet, tzad echad shalom, so we say that the first opinion says that always the shalom gover ha'emet. The second one we say, usually, if there is a safek, the shalom gover. But in case of emet, truth, I cannot say that they will merit. This is the Bavli. But in Yerushalmi is much, even much more interesting. Yerushalmi brings the same sugya, but he elaborated it, he dealt with it in a different way. In source number 6. Yes. Sorry? The Tosefta in Yevamot, yes?
Yes.
The Mishnah in Yevamot. Yes.
On the same thing.
In Eruvin.
No, that's the Ma'alan Eruvin.
Yes, nachon.
The Mishnah in Yevamot that says, Beit Shammai Matibim, Beit Shammai
Osrim, yes. And I relate to the Tosefta. I can't remember right now, although just now Bemikre, I'm learning Levi Yevamot, Bemikre, I'm teaching Yevamot. But I'm relating just to the Tosefta. I don't remember now the Mishnah to tell you. Okay. So let's see in the Yerushalmi in source number 6. לא נינו בית שמאי מליסן השם מבית הלל, ולא בית הלל מבית שמאי, אלא נוהגים באמת ושלום. Until now it's okay, the same. שנאמר, אמת והשלום אהבו. He quoted the same פסוק from זכריה, אמת והשלום אהבו. Now, ירושלמי ask, ממזרות בינתיים, ואת אמר הכין. How can you say? This kind of marriage can bring you to a problem of ממזרות. Everyone knows the מושג ממזר, if a married woman, if she has a baby to someone else, this baby is mamzer. It means that he cannot marry someone Mikhal Hashem. It's a tragic issue, and we try to prevent it as much as we can, and we're doing a lot within the framework of Halacha to try to prevent this kind of tragic event. But basically this is a mamzer. I'm not trying now to explain, he's not the one to blame, etc. This is the din of mamzer. So the Gemara shoel, the Gemara ask, how can you say lo nimneu, that they marry each other, mamzerut bentayim, ata marachin? How can you say that they, in the case of mamzer, they still, because of this nice pasuk, amet hashalom yavu, because of this they will marry mamzer? How can you say it? Shoel the Gemara, says the Gemara, hech avida. Give me an example that the disagreement between them will bring you to a problem of mamzer. Say the Gemara answers, I'll give you an example. Kidesh harishon b'shve pruta v'asheni b'dinar al datei de bet shamay mekudeshet l'asheni v'avlad mamzer min harishon al datei de bet hilel mekudeshet l'arishon v'avlad mamzer min harishon. I'll explain it in a minute. It seems to be complicated, but it is not.
One of the machlokot between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel is what is the minimum value that you can be mekadesh isha with it. Bet Hillel says, "Aisha mitkadeshet bepruta uveshve pruta." The ring or the money that you use can be just a pruta,
let's say a shekel, and Bet Shammai says, bedinar, a dollar. So this is a machloket about what is the minimum of the value of the ring of the money that you are going to when you are going to lekadesh isha. So let us say hayo hayta isha achat.
This woman, let's call her Zeresh. Okay, Zeresh. Sunday morning she met a nice person. Let's call him Reuven. And Reuven kidesh ota bepruta. Bepruta. Now, is she mekudeshet to Reuven or not? According to Bet Hillel, she is mekudeshet. According to Bet Shammai, she is pnuya. She's not married. Okay? At the same day, 8:30, 8:30, Zeresh pogeshet et Shimon. She met Shimon and she said to him, "You are nicer than Reuven. I want to marry you." And Shimon mekadesh ota bedinar. He says kiddushin in dinar. Is she mekudeshet to Shimon or not? Just according to Bet Shammai, because according to Bet Hillel, she's already mekudeshet. After she's mekudeshet, there's no another kiddushin. So she is mekudeshet. This nice woman, Zeresh, according to Bet Hillel, she's Reuven's wife. According to Bet Shammai, she's Shimon's wife. Okay? So now there is a big debate between Reuven and Shimon. So she told them, "Don't be angry, it will be okay." And she lived a year with Reuven and a year with Shimon. And when she lived with Reuven, then after 9 months, the simetov mazel tov nolad Zalman. And after, in the second year, when she lived with Shimon, nolad Kalman. Okay, we have two babies here, Kalman and Zalman. And let us see what is their positions. According to Bet Hillel, Zalman is kasher. She is Zera, she is the legal woman of a wife of Reuven, and of course Zalman is Yelet kasher. But what about Kalman? He's mamzer, because she was married to Reuven already, and then she lived with Shimon, and then Kalman was born, so Kalman is mamzer. But according to Bet Shammai, it's quite the opposite. According to Bet Shammai, Kalman is a kasher, and Zalman is mamzer. So we have two beautiful babies, children, Zalman and Kalman, that according to Bet Hillel, one is mamzer and the other kasher, and the opposite.
So the Gemara asks, how can you say the Bet Shammai Bet Hillel?
And everything is because Machloket Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. Because Bet Hillel is Shammai Kadesh Bebruta, and Bet Shammai is Shammai Kadesh Bedina. So the Gemara asks, how can you say that because I met Bashalom Ehavu, they could marry each other, I can bring to a problem of Mamzerim. You want to tell me that someone from Bet Hillel will let his daughter to marry Kalman that is Mamzer according to their opinion, or the opposite side, that someone from Bet Shammai will let her daughter to marry Zalman? How can it be? Omerat HaGemara.
So there's the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi, I'm in the box in the Yisod number 6. Rabbi Yossi ברבי בון אמר, רב ושמואל, חד אמר, אלו ואלו כהלכה היו עושים. רבי יוסי ורבי שמואל, they had two explanations to this, two answers to this question. The first one said, you know what, they argued with each other, but at the bottom line, they accepted the הלכה. And because הלכה כבית הלל, they accepted it. Okay, this is opinion that it's very interesting. I don't want to touch it right a minute, but I think the most interesting is the next one. אחד אמר, אלו כהלכתן ואלו כהלכתן. Both of them, they stayed in their own opinion. שואלת הגמרא, how can it be? ממזרות בינתיים ואת אמר, אחי, how can you say that both of them, they stayed in their own opinion, but at the same time, they marry each other? In Hebrew you say, אתה לא יכול לאכול את העוגה ולהשאיר אותה שלמה. I don't know if you say it in English. You cannot... Okay, טוב, לקחת, הכל אתם לוקחים מעברית. Anyway, so how can you say that each side they stick to their own opinion, and at the same time to say that they marry each other? If they stick in their own opinion, ונשארו, they stay in their own opinion, so they believe they are ממזרים, how can you say that they married each other? And now come the surprise. אומרת הגמרא, המקום משמר ולא ירא מעשה מעולם. What does it mean? המקום משמר, המקום השם, God משמר, he did it, and ולא ירא מעשה מעולם. What does it mean?
It never happened. This is not an answer.
זה לא גמרא, לא בשמיים. How can you say this is not the intention of the Gemara? It cannot be, because I'm asking, okay, ואם זה כן קרה, if it happened, they married or they not married? I have to say there are so many מחלוקות between them. How can you say המקום השמר ולא מעשה מעולם? לא בשמיים. Now, it was a miracle, and if it happened, what happened? I have to know הלכה. What does it mean המקום השמר? Which kind of answer is it? So I'd like to offer very carefully, and I beg you that just give me 2 minutes to explain it. I'm saying in a very, very careful way, I don't think that this is a pshat, המקום השמר ולא מעשה מעולם, that actually it was by direct supervision of Hashem, Hashem massage, יש השגוחה, that Hashem, that it cannot happen. I think Zman says something different. המקום השמר ולא ירא מעשה מעולם, Zman says that sometimes you have to relate to the metziut, to the reality, as it cannot happen. What does it mean? And if it happened, it cannot happen. And if it happened, zelo kara. What does it mean? Sometimes, I just would like to say very carefully, just in specific cases, like places of mamzerut, of agunot, etc., and even today, there are many examples of it, sometimes the halakha prefer, because of things like shloma briyot, aguna, mamzerut, etc., to say any sort of I close my eyes. I ignore the reality. I relate to it as it cannot happen. It means that they married each other. They didn't look too much to check if he's mamzer or not. זה לא אלא מעשה מעולם. You know, I know that it sounds, it's the first time it sounds a little bit strange. How can you say it's a playing with Alcha? If it's happening, it's happening. It's not, no. How can you say you ignore the fiction hilchatit? It's like a fiction, halachic fiction. But until today, there are some, just for example, if someone will come to the Beit Din in Yerushalayim, in Tel Aviv, in any place, I don't know about Thomas, and he will say, I know about someone that is mamzer. What will be their reaction of the Dayanim? Until today, what will it be? You know? Lech mipo. Lo rotem lishmoa. We don't know who here. I know about someone that is mamzer. You have to write it down because I know that in 6 months he's going to marry. What will be the reaction? Say, lo rotem lishmoa. Why not? But I know that he's mamzer. Then it's a very severe issue. Sometimes, so I'm not trying to say that in any case, sometimes only it's already on the table, sometimes it comes to a stage that you cannot ignore. I'm not trying to say that there's no any mamzer in the halakha. But many times, just in cases of mamzerim, we can say המקום אשר בעולם הזה עולם, the idea of shalom, of shalom הבריאות, of it's overcome the פרטי הלכה and say, not everyone can say it, and it should be someone with authority to say it. But sometimes you say because of the shalom, המקום אשר בעולם הזה עולם, you can say האמת השלום יעבו, and they found a way how to live together with Shalom and Tehillah, although in spite of the fact that they had theoretically and maybe practically cases of mamzerut. So because of shalom, because of the idea of shalom, and even today, I must say, just for example, a few years ago, it happened a case of mamzerut that I know about. It, the Haredi world, it was something very, I don't know how to say, it was in the Mesibat Arustin itself, in the engagement party itself, the Saba of the Chatan, the grandfather of the Chatan, told how he's happy about having this engagement, and he told about this history, that he, before the Shoah, he had a family, and his wife Neelma Bashoah, Nispeta Bashoah, and now he built another family, etc. And during this Mesibat Arustin itself, the grandmother of the Kala discovered that she was the wife of this man. And both sides, they believed the other side, Nispa Shua, and she had a new family. And what does it mean halachically? That all the family, all the descendants, her descendants, are mamzerim. Because she was married to him. And she thought that he died in the Shua. And she had a family. And so all the yaladim and nechadim, they are mamzerim. And it was a big issue, and the Rabbanim, there is a way, they found a way how to matirim lafkech et shidam afra. It's a very interesting thing, how can you lishloach get, levatel, and to make the kiddushin afra, the kiddushin that they had 60 years ago, 65 years ago, to cancel them, and therefore she was tnuya, etc. This is just a case, what I'm trying to say, that sometimes because of the idea of the shalom, because of the idea of trying to prevent this tragic events or cases, there is a power within the halacha, and within the framework of halacha. I have to emphasize again and again, I'm not trying chas v'shalom breaking the klalim. זה הדרישה של ההלכה, this is the demand of the halacha, to find a way how to live together. So I'd like just to say, to go back to the pasuk that the Tosefta quoted at the first place, the pasuk from Mishle in source number 7, לאדם מערכי לב ומאדוני מענה לשון. כל דרכי איש זך בעיניו ותוכן רוחות אדוני. So what is the pshat of this pasuk? And how from this pasuk, this is a pasuk that the Tosefta quoted to say why they behaved in a tolerant way to each other, because of כל דרכי זך בעיניו ותוכן לבות השם. So it's a very interesting pasuk. What does it mean? כל דרכי זך בעיניו. Everyone believes that his way is the purest way. Zach be'inav. Zach is pure, it's clean, it's the best way that can be. But who knows what is the real truth? That's Hashem. Tochenu ruchot Hashem. So although every Yitzchak believes that his own way, this is the best, the purest way that you have, kol de'erchei zach benav, tochenu ruchot Hashem, just Hashem knows. And so how is this pasuk can bring us to the idea of tolerance? So you are saying to, you have to say to yourself, Nachon, I'm very sure about my truth, my own derech, my own way. But at the same time, on the other side, there is someone else that is very sure about his own way. Who knows in our world what is the truth? Not Hashem. And by telling it yourself, this idea, if you are going to sleep, you say, okay, I'm very sure about myself, and I have my own derech, I'm trying to go this derech, but at the same time, always I have to say to myself, maybe the other side has something to say as well. Maybe there is something truth in the other side as well. So I know this, the question is, in which framework I'm speaking you in? Beidem is Geret, I can say. In which kind of vikuach? And I'll touch in a few minutes, I just will touch this question. I'm not trying to say that there's no limits to this idea, but basically, במחלוקת שהיא בתוך בית המדרש, in a disagreement that there is within the framework of הלכה, of Torah, of בית המדרש, always you have to say, maybe there is something in the other way as well. כל דרכי זך ונב, everyone is very sure about his own way, but תוכן ורוחות השם, just Hashem knows what is, where is the truth באמת. This is one explanation to this pasuk. Agon Mivina has a different explanation. He says, something even deeper, sharper. He says that kol dachei zach benav, it's regarding the motivation, not regarding the content. He says kol dachei zach benav, everyone is batuach and sure that he is doing his own way just because of ideals, l'shem shamayim. But the other side, they just have interests. You know, I'm just acting because of ideology, because I'm an honest person, because I'm good man, I'm just believing it. But the other side, they don't really believe of that. They just because they are, you know, tired, or because they have interest, or because they want to gain something. Kol derech yizach be'inav. Everyone is sure that his own motivation is pure. But tochen ruchot Hashem, just Hashem knows if everything is so pure in your side, if everything is so impure on the other side. Just because of the reason, you have to say to yourself that on the other side there are people that they really believe in their own way. This is a reason to respect their way as well. It doesn't mean that you have to accept their way, but to respect them, because kol derech yizach be'inav, they are doing it gam b'tzad hasheni, on the other side as well, there are people that believe in what they are doing. And of course, this is a reason they believe that they are doing it for the sake of Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, the world, or whatever it will be. Not just in your own side. Anyway, I just would like to bring the last makor source, a very famous one in Gemara Be'eruvin, source number 9, Eilu Ve'eilu, and then to try just to touch in few minutes some issues that may be relating to our world as well. Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, what is the end of the machloket between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel? Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, 3 years nechlaku Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. 3 years Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel argued. Halal omrim halacha kevoteinu, v'halal omrim halacha kevoteinu. Each side said, halacha is in my side. Yatzah bat kol ve'amra, elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim hem. Both sides, they are divrei Elohim chayim. Ve'halacha kevet Hillel, but there is halacha according to Bet Hillel. Although both sides have had a truth, a divine truth on their own side, Divrei Elohim Chaim, but yet there is a Lachak Bet Hillel. And then the Gemara keep going and asking, וכי מאחר שאלו ואלו דברי אלוהים חיים, מפני מה זכו בית הלל לקבוע הלכה כמותן? So why is הלכה according to בית הלל? If both sides are דברי אלוהים חיים, so why הלכה is כבית הלל? And then the Gemara answer, מפני שנוחים ועלובים היו. They were נוחים ועלובים, they were humble and nice people. ושונים דבריהם בדברי שמי. And when they learn Torah, when they study Torah, they always study their own side and the other side, דברי שמי as well. ולא עוד, אלא שמקדימים דברי שמי לדבריהם. When they study Torah, they first of all, they quoted the opinion of בית שמי, and just afterwards they wrote their own opinion. Very nice. אז מה? למה אנחנו כבית הלל? Okay, they're all nice people. Why this is a reason that halakha will be according to Bet Hillel? Someone want to offer? I just like to clarify my question. What I'm trying to say, the Gemara asks, why halakha Bet Hillel? I said, well, there are nice people. Okay, there are nice people. So say yes lahem chelek olam haba. Why it should be the halakha will be like them? I want to know halakha should be the truth, the emet. Why halakha kama bet Hillel? So what if they were nice and humble? Okay, bakasha.
Well, I think it shows their mindset so that when they learn, I think they were more objective because they didn't have, if they were willing to leave room for the other side, then when they learned, they didn't have an agenda, it seems. So they learned without an agenda.
Okay, that's nice. So you're saying that basically when I'm saying that halakha kemotam, it's not just because they were more tzaddikim, more nice people. The fact that they listen to the other side gives them a chance to be closer to the truth. So if we understand in this way, it means that the Gemara is a very big chidush, very big innovation. If you are open and tolerant, it's not just that you are nicer people. You have a better chance to come to the truth. Because if you just believe in your own way and you are not open to listen to the other side, the chance that you come to the truth is less than someone that always investigate and think about the other side and afterwards cholek and bring his own side. So halakha ke betilel, not just because hem nechmadim, hem neimim, they are pleasant people, they are nice people. No, the fact that they are listening to the other side gives them a chance to be closer to the truth. And this is a very interesting way of understanding the Gemara, because you can't say just because they are nice people, but I think I prefer this kind of explanation. And I must quote another explanation of this Gemara that I very like. I heard it from one Talmida that said that maybe the idea of the Gemara is why halacha kebet Hillel? Because if halacha was according to Bet Shammai, we couldn't know about Bet Hillel. The opinion of Bet Hillel would have disappeared because Bet Shammai didn't bring the opinion of Bet Hillel. So paradoxically, halakha kebet Hillel, in order that we'll know about Bet Shammai, the opinion of Bet Shammai, because Elu Ve'elu Dibra Elohim Chaim. Because Elu Ve'elu Dibra Elohim Chaim. So the verse says like this: both sides have truth, because, and I want to keep the, both sides of the truth. So if halakha was according to Bet Shammai just brought their own opinion, so the opinion of Bet Hillel would have disappeared. I couldn't know about it anything. So halakha kebet Hillel, kedei shenedan yizkor gam et ha'as Bet Shammai, because they will know. I think it's a very beautiful way of understanding the Gemara. So let us try to summarize and to close the view of discussion. What I'm trying to say, I think, so I'll put it in our own, in the modern words. What does it mean? What's that basically Chazal wants to show us? When there is a machloket, we have to know we are living in a very olam murkav, in a very complicated subach and murkav. There's no black and white. In most of the questions that we argue about them, there's no just one way, black and white. Just all the right thing is one side and all the other side just wrong. In most things, it's much more complicated. It's much more murkav, much more the complexity of the world. It's so hard that we always have to try to listen to the other side to understand. There is something in truth in many places, and always have to try to be open, to be sensitive, and to think about the other side as well, and to try to accept what you can from the other side. To try to develop, there is a way to develop tolerance within a committed world, just to try to understand that you cannot say that kol ha'emet b'tzad sheli, all the truth is just in my side. The halakha, I think, in every daf of the Gemara, you can see the ramah chlokot, that disagreement, and you have to try to educate yourself to understand that if you believe that all the truth is just in your own side, you never can respect the other side, because it means that the other side, Oshu tipesh gamur, Oshu rasha gamur. Either he is foolish that he cannot see the light, he cannot see that all the truth is in my side, or he sees the truth, but in spite of it, he just denied, so he's rasha gamur. I can't really. And in most cases, in most of the things that we disagree about them, it's much more complicated. It's not just black and white, shachor levan, just kol ha'emet in one side. And I think it's very, very important to try to say to ourselves, there is a way to see things from more than one point of view, more than one aspect. And by doing it, we can always discover a deeper level and a deeper thing that meaning that we couldn't see before it. All obviously the big question, ma gvulot, what are the limits? Can how open, how much can you open the gvulot of the Bet Midrash? Obviously there are things that we say this is obviously I cannot tolerate. Everyone will accept that even tolerance, there are limits to tolerance. No one will tolerate something that is immoral. No one, but it's supposed to be. I think Adam Agun will not be tolerant to the Nazi ideology, just for to take an extreme example. So it means that tolerance is not the highest value in our world. But still I believe that within the Olam HaTorah, within the Olam HaLacha, within the Yahadut, still there is a room to try to understand that there is more than one way. Obviously, I'm speaking now about within the committed world. And still I think we have to make a big distinction between maybe tolerance and pluralism. It's not the same. I can be tolerant to things that I disagree with. I still can say that I believe that my way is the right way, and I still can believe that you have the right to deny, to disagree with me. It doesn't mean that I will say just a minute that your truth is like mine. This is tolerance. Pluralism is to say that there is no truth, or let's say extreme pluralism would say there is no truth in general. This is the thing that I think that Adam Amin cannot say. Yehudi Amin cannot say. I cannot, just for example, I deal a lot with issues in Chilonim Datim within the state of Israel. I was one of the founders of the Kinneret Declaration, and I tried many years to find any sort of covenant, of agreement between Chilonim and Datim people in Israel, to try to find the common denominator, how to build, design a Jewish and democratic state without religious coercion, just by understanding. And I think that I can't say that. Let's say I cannot say that lechalel Shabbat and lishmor Shabbat is the same. Obviously, I believe that Shabbat you have to keep Shabbat, but I really believe that I have no right to impose someone else to be shomer Shabbat, and he has the right to live in his own way. So I have to find a way how to express in the public issues the fact that you are living in a Jewish and democratic state. So just for example, our example was our offer was to distinguish between business that will be closed on Shabbat and things that like culture and things that will be open Shabbat. Although halachically I disagree with both of them, but I understand that we have to find a way to live together. So this is where here I'm thinking about tolerance and respecting the opinion of the other side. But still, as a human being, obviously I will respect him, and I think that I have a lot that I can gain from him. Although I disagree with him with very fundamental things, but still there are many things that I can study from him, according to the halakha, according to the Torah. So I think it's much more complicated. Ken, bakasha.
At the time, there was an authority that said the halakha will be according to the Torah.
That's true.
That's the issue today. The issue today is that they think that if they're going to eat in your restaurant, they are committing a terrible of error, let alone other issues of what you might consider greater. So in a world like that, it tends to be becoming more intolerant. You're suggesting something. I mean, you're preaching to the converted. But how do you preach to the non-converted? How do you say get this message across to those who need to hear it? How to reach them is the issue.
Okay. Obviously, I'm trying to speak just to someone that is ready to listen to me. But I really believe that there is any sort of development within many keilot as well to go to this direction. I'm not trying to say that still there is a long way to go. And there are many other problems as well. It's not the only ones that we have. From the fact that there is no Sanhedrin today, there is no Samchut Klalit. But at least to respect the other side, I think we can demand. And there is, I think, more recognition between the Kilo within Israel. But this is a different issue. Any other question? Ken?
If I may, just
Okay.
I think the logical conclusion of what you're saying is that there shouldn't be any religious legislation in Israel, which is a position which I'm all in favor of personally, because I think besides the practical level, the hatred it engenders from the other side. But I guess my question then is, so what would be the limits, like practically? All the buses, they should go on Shabbos, like, you know, El Al blew one Shabbos and half the world,
okay.
What should you say? We should do all education. There should be no education. Where, you know,
from my experience, I must tell you that I really believe that we have to much to make much less. Let's say almost to bring to minimize the religious legislation, because as you have said, you just bring people to be alienated from Yahadut, to feel far away from Yahadut, just promote hatred. And I think as we have less coercion, we have more openness to Jewish education, to Jewish, by people being Jewish by culture. And I'm dealing with it. We have in the yeshiva, just for example, we established near the yeshiva Beit Midrash Israeli. It's trying to bring people, Chiloni and Dadim, together learning Torah. It's a huge phenomenon just in Israel right now, in the last few years. Many Chilonim are learning Torah. And I think it's something very positive. At least people feel that the Torah does not belong just to the team. It does not just belong to the team. And we all have to find a way how to find our own way to understand that Yahadut belongs to every Yehudi. So when we come to practical issues, we have to find a way. For Shabbat, I think we have to, we can find any sort of agreement how to deal with Shabbat that it still will express the idea that it is Shabbat. Maybe it will depend on areas, it will depend, as I said, the distinction between business and other things like pleasure or whatever, in theaters, etc. In case of marriage, it is much more simple. I believe that we have to have civil marriage in Israel.
Right.
Even halakhically, I think there are many advantages. I'm not the first to say.
Civil marriage will actually help, because
it will diminish the problem of mandarin.
In terms of a guest, you think that?
Obviously, I think if we have a civil marriage, it will be very acceptable to say that there are two parallel routes. If the kiddushin al pi halacha, it should be get al pi halacha. If it's nisuin ezrachim, civil marriage, it can be civil divorce as well, because the fact when someone chooses to go to this drug, it means that kiddushin lo chalim. But it's a very complicated issue. But I'm not the first to say about Shidorazi did before me. And I think there is more understanding to this direction in Israel, but it will take time, it will take a long time. And as you know, this is not the only problem that we'll be dealing with in this day. So, thank you very much for listening to me, and I'll talk to
the other. Thanks for working with us. Just really, I found it most.